turn to James chapter 1. And then also, if you have, mark your Bible, put your place into 1 Peter chapter 4. James chapter 1 and then 1 Peter chapter 4. So when we look through life and you experience life and you experience things that are going along, many times it's not easy because life is filled with trials, temptation, with sickness, disease, accidents, disappointment, sorrow, suffering, death, temptations. We are bombarded about every side. And the seduction of sin and evil that comes with the occupational hazard, if you will, about being a Christian. What we need out of the Bible, what the Word of God is, we need a way to conquer all the trials and temptations of life. You know, I guess before we can be a Barnabas, before we can be an encouragement, we first have to get to the place where we can be and not succumb to the trials and the temptations of life and the discouragement. There is a way to do it, and I really do believe in James chapter 1, it gives us the outline to do it. And we there's just a few things we got to do. First, we got to face the fact that we all are going to have trials and temptations. Number two, the needed attitude to that is the attitude of joy. And then the result, it makes us perfect or entire. The word perfect is complete. It means a mature man. It means like when a man's born, he's a baby, then he goes through that cycle, and then he becomes an adolescent, and then he becomes a young man, and then he becomes a mature man. That's what James is saying. When you see the word perfect, it doesn't mean a perfect person. There was only one that was perfect, and we know who that is, Jesus Christ. So we see here out of the Word of God that we can do it. We can conquer it. And I know like days like today, I tell myself, really? Can you make it? Yeah. Because you have to embrace your life. You have to embrace the trial. You have to embrace things that happen to you. And it's very difficult not to react to them. Not to react to discouragement in your life, because if you react to it in the wrong way, you're going to rebel against, let me just say it like this, you're going to rebel against the trial. Don't rebel against the trial, because if you do that, it will harden your heart, and then you'll yield to discouragement. You'll say, what's the use? That's the problem with addiction. The problem with addiction is you yield to the addiction. Then you feel guilty about it. Then you yield to it again and again. It's a vicious cycle. So if I can just help you in some small way this morning to try to, instead of yielding to discouragement, instead of rebelling against the trial, to embrace it. Now let's see the text. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So let's go back to our outline. Number one, the fact of it is, is that you're going to have trials. Yep. He did not say if. He said, my brethren, count it all joy if you have it. None of us are going to get a pass, right? But it's when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. So the fact of it is that we're going to have trials and temptations. The needed attitude is to have the attitude of joy, which is totally counterintuitive to anybody that breathes, amen, that lives on this planet. But the result of it is that we're gonna acquire endurance. It's gonna make us stronger. Just like an athlete, he works out and he goes through the pain of working out, that he can be stronger, that he can be better, amen, to deal with the next one. Listen to this statement. I've heard this yesterday and I wrote it down. Trials are increased by the Spirit's transformation. So as you walk with God, as you allow the Lord to transform your mind and your spirit and your heart, you're going to be stronger. But with that, you're going to have increased trials and tribulations. It's amazing how some Christians will bump through life and it's just one little stub toe and it's like, man, I give up. Right? I give up. You know, they embrace all this evil, you know, where they should just embrace the trial and don't rebel against it. So the fact, let's just stay on number one, that we'll be lucky to even get through that today. So the fact is that we will have many trials and trials and temptations. So the fact is certain, we're going to have them. The Greek word used for temptations or trials throughout James is the word pyrosmos. That's the Greek word. It means to tempt, to try, to test, to prove. Throughout the Bible, the word pyrosmos and its various forms are used to refer to both temptations and the trials of life. But note, the word means far more than just a tempt. It means to try you, to test you. And another word that would be, that you could apply to that would be to prove you. You know, so temptations and trials of life, they are there to prove us. And they are beneficial purpose for us. They are permitted by God for a good purpose. Now listen to this. W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament says this. It says, what is the purpose? To make us stronger and more pure? He goes on, he says, we are to conquer temptation when we are a much more pure person, when we're more holy, righteous, and just. You know, you get run out of most churches preaching like that. What do you mean more holy? Amen. You need to take time to be holy. You know, I mean, that's not a bad thing. That we need to take time. We need to take, if you will, take spiritual inventory and say, I know that this is an honoring to you, whatever it might be, Lord. And I don't want it in my life. He goes on, he says, when we triumphantly go through the trials of life, we become much more of a stronger person, more steadfast, more enduring, more persevering. And we're never going to get to the spot to where, Lord, I've went through so much of trials, I've been through so much that now, Lord, I can take it easy, right? Well, no. Because the Lord says, now you're stronger for the next one, right? Amen. And that doesn't mean that we go through a mess every week. I'm not saying that. But you can go through a mess knowing that God is in total control. Right. Think of the disciples. Was it fair that Jesus sent them into the storm? No, it wasn't fair. But Jesus sent them into the storm not to drown them, but to what? To increase their faith that they might be stronger in him. Man, we made it through that storm. The only way we made it through the storm was because Jesus was in the boat. Amen. And when Jesus wasn't in the boat, he come walking on the water. Amen. And he says, don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. I got this. Amen. We stand up against trials and temptations when we become a more dynamic witness to all those around that see us. We demonstrate the living presence and the power of Christ. And it shows the outside and lost world that he lives in us. Amen. You know, it took Chuck almost 20 years to get to that place to where God allowed his house to burn down and for him to get on television and get on the media, right? Because prior to that, he'd have probably... I don't know if you'd have been a good witness at that. You know what I'm saying? Now, trust me, I don't want that, amen. I like my junk. And anybody that came over my house yesterday knows that. Boy, he's pretty fond of rusty stuff, amen. But God might take that. But I'm not ready yet. Amen? And it shows the lost world that he actually lives in our heart. And it isn't about the songs. We can sing and joy about being a believer and this and that, but the acid test is out there, amen? You know, when your neighbors are cracking the blinds and saying, let's see what they do now. When God rips a loved one from them, amen? Or burns their house down. Or they have a financial collapse, amen? We need to demonstrate it. He goes on to say in this expository dictionary, it says, God allows temptations and trials for a good and beneficial purpose, to prove us, to try us, to make us stronger and much purer and righteous. God wants us to face temptations and trials in life that we, through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, might be able to conquer them, and only through him. And in the process, we become more like Christ. Amen? Yeah. But listen to it again. I want to share this with you again. This statement. Rebellion against trials will harden the heart and cause us to yield to discouragement. Rebellion. Man, I'm rebelling against the trial. And really, you say, well, I've never did that. But really, we do that when things happen what do? We get mad at who? God's punishing me. Why did he allow this in my life? I don't deserve this. Well, have you embraced it? Have you embraced it and tried to find God in it? Because God's in everything. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Yeah, even this morning, amen? Yeah. It was all happened for a reason, amen? You know, Paul said this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Paul said, I am surrounded by trouble. It's just constantly, you know, a preacher friend texted me this morning. He knew the subject I was preaching on, and he has been in the ministry a little while, and he probably knew what was going to happen. He goes, I'm just praying that you have the armor of God on. I said, and I texted him back before the service, and I said, well, the arrows are flying, brother. Amen. And Paul said that. He goes, I'm troubled on every side. And what he's saying is, I'm surrounded. Amen. And that's what James is saying here. James is saying, count it all joy, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, what he means by that is James is saying all kinds of temptations and trials. And I've heard it said it's like multicolored, you know, all different kinds of trials. Amen. And that's what Paul is. He goes, on every side, I'm distressed, but I'm not perplexed. I'm in despair, but I'm okay. I'm persecuted. I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm still breathing. Amen. I'm still going. And A.T. Roberts says this about what James says in chapter 1. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says this. He says, all kinds of temptations and trials. And A.T. Roberts said it's a picture of being surrounded by trials. The idea is that there are many trials, there are many temptations, all sorts of kinds of temptations and trials. And we know that there are certain things that are going to try or test me or tempt me that ain't going to affect me at all. Amen. I can walk away. Amen. I can say, no, that is not going to tempt me. But the same thing might tempt Jonathan. It might tempt Jesse, you know, it might tempt Pete or Jim. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's the thing about Satan. He just keeps throwing it at you. Amen. He just keeps coming at you. Paul says, hey, I'm surrounded. All this is happening, but I am going to keep going on. It reminds me of a story of World War II. The soldiers used to fight in the foxholes. You, You probably have seen the old movies and stuff and studied history on that. Well, there was a battalion that was pinned down, amen, and they were surrounded by the enemy. And headquarters calls captain, and they said, "How you doing?" And the captain says, "We're doing great." He goes, "Doesn't sound like it. Bullets are flying everywhere." He goes, "Well, I'm telling you, well, the enemy is on the front of us. The enemy is on the back of us. The enemy is on the side of us. They're to the right, to the left, front, and back." And he goes, "Sir, I'll tell you right now, they're not going to get away from us now." Amen. That's the attitude we ought to have, amen. I've got a trial. This is happening, and you know what? I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to harden my heart. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to say, okay, God's allowed this in my life. You say, "Well, it ain't fair." Well, life isn't fair. Amen. Life isn't fair. But we have to allow the Spirit to increase our transformation. And the Lord's trying to transform us through trials. Unfortunately, if we get blessed all the time, amen, that's not going to do. We're going to become spiritually lethargic, amen. It is through the trials and the testings of life. Let me show you in the Bible about the Spirit's transformation. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Paul's addressing the Corinth church here, and we know this was a carnal church, amen. And Paul's addressing them that, you know what, you guys are really, you're really not with it here. You're not, there's nothing spiritual about you. Matter of fact, he says that exactly the opposite in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." The word carnal means flesh. Flesh head, you know, as Archie Bunker would say, meat head, amen? Everything in their mind and their heart's fleshly. And you'd see it, you read it, Paul dealt with all kinds of wicked and immorality stuff in the book of 1 Corinthians. This was a carnal church. My pastor pastored a church in Mississippi called Corinth Church. And he goes, "Boy, they sure lived up to their name, brother." He says, "I could not speak to you as unto spiritual," someone that was spiritual, "but as unto carnal, even babes in the Christ." And look at verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For you are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envy and strife, division. Are you not carnal and walk as men?" You're not spiritual, amen. You're no different than the lost people. You know why? Because they hadn't been transformed. They hadn't allowed the Lord to work in and through their life through trials. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans church here. He says in Romans 12 verse 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world," but look at this, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Trials are increased by spiritual transformation. So as you walk with God, as God deals with your heart, and God deals with your life, and he deals with your behavior, and you have a proper response to trials, God works in that. And that's what James is saying. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The word patience is endurance. Verse 4, "but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Allow the process to work. Amen. Allow it to vet out. because it's going to help you. Amen. Rebelling against trials, rebelling against things that life throws at you isn't going to help, because you're going to get discouraged. Amen. And you're going to yield to that discouragement, and it's going to lead you into deeper sin. But faith in God will, yielding to the faith of the Lord will help you. Let me share some scripture, more scripture with you. Since you're in, if you were still back in Corinthians, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass in the glory of the Lord, are changed the same from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. For our light affliction," now this is found in chapter 4, verse 17, says, "For our light affliction." Now Paul says, "For our light affliction." Anyone know what Paul went through being afflicted? He says, "Our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory." Let me just say this. This life is going to be gone. I mean, in a blip. I mean, James says it also. He says, "Your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a moment, then it vanishes away." Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 7, the Bible says, "If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not?" That goes right with the rebellion against the trial. So when the chastening comes, are you going to rebel against the chastening? Because, you know, God only chastens those who are his. You know, I've had this said to me, why doesn't my lost coworker go through the stuff I'm going through? Well, he's got a different father than you got. Amen. Amen? His father's the devil, right? Verse 8 says, "But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all partakers, then you are bastards." That means you're illegitimate sons and not son. You're a fake. Amen. You're not a true child of God. A lot of times, that's the problem. People go through life as being a Christian. They were never even saved. Read Luke chapter 8. The seed never fell in the good ground. Why? When trials and disappointments and come, they rebel against it. They say, "I don't want anything to do with that." No, a true son accepts the chastening of his father. Let me go on. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which correct us, in which we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father and spirits and live?" Verse 10, "For verily for a few days chastening us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Look at verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous." I mean, you got to be sick in the head to enjoy chastening, right? No one's ever been in God's woodshed and said, "Hallelujah, this is wonderful." You say, but what does James say? Count it all joy. He says, count it all joy. But the writer of Hebrews says, it's not joyous. Amen. James also says, listen to this, about Job. He says, "Behold, we count them happily which endured. You have heard of the patience of Job, having seen the end, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy." God doesn't enjoy, amen, chastening you. But he knows if he can chasten you, he can correct you, that you're going to be stronger, you'll be better for it. Because you're his. "No chastening for the present seemed joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yielded peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Job chapter 23, verse 10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." If you know anything about Job, Job was a man that was tried to the hilt. Amen. He was tried very much. So much, I think we should take a look at it this morning in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright." Now, remember, the word perfect is complete. "And one that feareth God and encheweth evil." This man had a relationship with God, amen? And he avoided evil. He encheweth evil. He says, "Listen, that's not going to make me a better son. That's not going to make me a better servant to my God." Verse 2, "And there were born of unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 kids. And his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and very great household." So this man was the greatest among all men of the east. Job, great man. Verse 4, "His sons went and feasted in their houses every one of his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said that it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Oh, it's so convicting when you see a verse like that. Let me ask you something. Are you praying for your kids? You're praying, God's, if they're not saved, save their soul. Amen. Lord, help them to walk with you. If they're away from God, Lord, get them back to you. Amen. Pray for your kids. Pray for your friends. Amen. Don't forget to pray for your pastor. Amen. Pray for your people. Amen. And verse 6 says, "And there was a day when the sons of men," or the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, "and Satan came also among them." You say, well, why would God even allow it? I don't know. You're going to have to ask God that when you get to heaven. Verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and encheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house, and about all that he hath, and he on every side? And thou hast blessed his hands and his substance, and increased the land. Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." So Satan challenges God here about Job. He says, does Job serve God for naught? The only reason why Job serves you is because you bless him. You know, the true acid test for every believer is when, not when the things are great, not when the things are, everything's wonderful. It's when the chips are down, amen? It's when things happen in your life. Death, sickness, disease, financial ruin, whatever it might be, that is the true test. And Satan told God, he says, listen, you take all the blessings away from him, he will curse thee to thy faith. Verse 13, "And there was a day when the sons and the daughters were eating and drinking, and when the wine in their eldest brother's house." Now look at this, verse 14. "There came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding besides him, and the Sebans came and fell upon them and took them away. Yet they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I am only I alone to tell thee." That's message number one. Message number two, verse 16. "And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The fire of God hath fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I am only I escaped alone to tell thee." Messenger number two. Here comes messenger number three. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said the Chaldeans had made three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. Yea, and the slain, the servants with the edge of the sword, and I have escaped alone to tell thee. And here it is, the worst of all, messenger number four. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. I only am escaped to tell thee. Now, I don't know about you, but you talk about having a bad day, amen? When everything was taken away from them save his wife. Verse 20. Here's Job's response to trials. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. You talk about a proper reaction to a trial. A trial? You lose everything. All your livestock, all your children, in one grand swoop. And Job said in verse 21, and he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We see the second test of Job's life was when Satan wasn't done. You know, incidentally, Satan's never going to give up on trying to bring you down. It took his health. Amen. And then after all that, his three friends came, tried to encourage him. Said the only reason why, I mean, how many 30 plus chapters, the only reason why you're doing this is because you've sinned against God in a nutshell. But Job didn't. He was perplexed. He didn't understand why, but he held fast to his God. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And all this. Did Job rebel against the trial? No. He embraced it. He didn't want special treatment. Amen. People always say, you know, and I've said it, and you might have said it, but, you know, why? I think it's okay to say that, amen? Why me, Lord? Someone has said this, instead of saying, why me, Lord, why don't we say, what now? We got to quit living in the past, amen? You know, Paul said in Philippians, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark. If you know about the life of Paul, he had to forget a lot of things, amen? But Paul knew that trials and tribulations were a fact of life. Did not Jesus say, we're not living in the tribulation, but we are in tribulation? We are. We are living in tribulation. It is not the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation, but we are living in tribulation. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer, amen? I have overcome this world. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The fact of the matter is that there's going to be trials. The question this morning is, are we going to rebel against them? Are we going to harden our heart? Are we going to lead to discouragement? Or are we ever going to be a Barnabas? Amen. Are we ever going to get to the spot to where we can encourage others? You say, there's just no possible way. You don't know me, amen. Like the man I said in this church, he's not here anymore. I said, we're going to get stickers made up for our church saying, too blessed to complain. He says, I ain't putting that on my rig. Why not, amen? And at least he was honest about it. He says, no, because I got a bad attitude, amen. Amen. Even when I'm blessed, I'm mad, right? We ought to get to the place where we can be a Barnabas and we can be an encouragement, amen? And we read James chapter 1. This isn't just something we read, no, that's nice, and move on. No, James says, listen, this is life. This is life. Amen? That's what we're living. That's what I'm living. You know? That's what I was doing this morning, amen? Trying to, you know, sometimes you feel like that ball going down the pinball machine. Bam, 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 right? Man, I almost hit that slot home free, and then that flipper hits me again, right? Bang, right to the top. Here I come. Bam, 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 bam. Amen? I mean, you could ask my grandson probably this morning how godly his papa is, and he'd probably say, no. No, I'm sorry, Tommy. You know? It's okay to say that, too.
That's right.
You forgive me, you know what I mean? But this is life, amen. I mean, I always offend people, amen. I offend people in this church. I think I offended somebody this morning that was here for Sunday school and left. Didn't mean to. Amen. Freddie probably thinks, man, what's your problem, preacher? Amen. Get your audio right, amen. I don't know. I just know that I go through trials too, and I ain't preaching this so you feel sorry for me, because you know what? There might be a message on my phone right now that makes all this look pale in comparison. I don't know. But I want to keep going on. I want to try to keep being stronger, amen. I don't want to give up, and I don't want to yield to discouragement. I don't want to rebel against what's going to happen tomorrow. Because I realize that there's going to be more trials, amen? I realize this in my short time as being a Christian for 30 years, that you're either in a trial, right? Or let me say it like this, you're headed into a trial. You don't even know it yet. Y'all are heading into a trial. Or you're in a trial, amen? You're in a trial. You know what I mean? You're out on that rough sea right now, man. The waves are breaking over the bow. You got some turmoil going on. You need to embrace it. Amen. Or you're coming out of a trial. You're on the other side of it. Saying, man, I hope I'll be make me stronger. Amen. Why? Well, because after a while you're going to be heading back in.